Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring Pastor's anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through Pastor's teaching and preaching, and that you will be built up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, please visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
Well, I'm going to speak today on kind of what we've been continuing on and what you said, workers. But also about some of our frustrations as to why some people we try to reach will never be there. Also, what we have to realize is you and I live in a time like no other. You know, the Lord says in the Bible, a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. He also tells us no one knows the time. But He gives us all the signs. He gives us, if we study the prophecies, He gives us the prophecies to know that we're in the end times. And things are happening today that have never taken place before in history. Prophecies are being fulfilled in ways that will never or have never taken place. America, one of the greatest things that the prophetic experts always wonder about is, how come we don't really see America in the prophecies? Some say that where it talks of the great Babylon and so rich that that's America. But it can't be. So if America's not in the prophecies and you and I happen to live here, what's going on? Well, it's just come to light in the last year or so that one of the underlying currents that are becoming more and more popular is just like the European Union now exists, because the European Union has to exist, according to the prophecies, there has to be 10 member states for the Antichrist to rule. So where does America fit? It doesn't. In the recent years, one of the big things that's being proposed is the North American Union. Have you noticed that we don't really protect our southern or northern borders anymore? Do you notice it's open conduit almost? Just today we heard in the news where a California town decided to pass a law stating that if you weren't legally an American citizen, you couldn't rent a house to someone, and that law was overturned. Why? Because there's an underlying plan for Canada, America, and Mexico to become one nation. It hasn't got really a name yet. They're playing around with like the North American Union, America's Union. But there's an underlying plan, and this year, I believe it's this year, probably next year, they are going to start on a major 10-lane interstate that will run from Mexico to Canada through the middle of our country. See, we are in a period of time that no one else has ever lived in, because we are seeing these prophetic things, words, come true. It's exciting. It's really scary, too. Because every day you turn around, if you bother to read the headlines, you'll see that it's becoming more and more politically incorrect for you to mention Jesus, for you to preach Jesus. It used to be only that it was in Africa or in Kenya or in Pakistan or in the Muslim countries of India that people would be jailed for preaching the gospel. It's already occurred in this country. It's occurred many times in Canada. There is a time coming soon that you will not be able to express your opinion to someone that's involved in a sin about their salvation. There'll be a time soon where I may be put in jail, or where I can't express my opinion, I can only read this. But yet in Canada, the Bible has already been labeled as hate speech. There's a law on the books in several of the countries in Canada, well, actually, I guess they're technically states in Canada, that make this hate speech if it's used towards a homosexual, an adulterer, a fornicator, and even a pedophile. So if I tell someone who's molesting children in Canada that it's against the Word of God, and I quote scriptures, the one that's molesting the children gets off free and I get put in jail. Kind of scary thoughts, isn't it? Now, if you're living as a Christian with your head in the sand and you're not preaching to anyone the gospel of Jesus Christ, then none of this matters. Except in your eternal salvation, because the Bible says you shall be known by your fruits. I don't live with each one of you. I don't walk around with each one of you. So I honestly can't tell you what your fruits are or aren't. That's between you and God. But the Bible is very plain and clear. We shall be known by our fruits, the fruit of the Spirit. We shall not be known by how many times we sat in a pew in the church. We shall not be known that we were the only ones that supported the church after everybody left. We shall not be known on how many times we gave our tenth. We shall be known by our fruits. Now, if you give to the church you belong to, and that church uses that money, that's a fruit. But if you are like many of today's Christians that come into the church, they come in and they leave the same. Last year, more mega-sized churches, probably proportionately more churches people-wise, closed Christmas Eve and had no Sunday services, because Christmas fell on Sunday, had no Sunday services because they wanted to be family friendly. Now, what's more important, Jesus friendly or family friendly? My opinion is, it's better to have my children in church on Christmas Day worshiping and singing to Jesus than sitting around a Christmas tree ripping presents open. See, that's where we have to, as a church, as a human, as a Christian, we have to do some real evaluating. Sue and I were just talking this morning. Linda was mentioning this community. This church has had its ups and downs. But I'm going to tell you right now, if that pastor comes in here and there is a bunch of people here that are willing to support him, willing to go out and work in the community, willing to help him, this church is going to be just like this a year from now. It's not going to grow. Because churches, if they grow because of the pastor, they're hollow and empty. If the church grows because of Jesus, it's a vibrant body. I've been involved in many different churches in my life. I've worked in them. I've sat in them. I've fought against them. But I know for a fact that what it takes to reach a community, what it takes to have a live, vibrant church, is not the pastor. The pastor can teach you, the pastor can educate you, the pastor can uplift you, the pastor can encourage you. He's just like the coach on a football team. But if that football team goes and stands out there in the middle of the football field for the whole first half, guess what? They just lost the game. And it's the same thing with Christians. If we as Christians are not fruitful, we're doomed. But we have to look at where we're putting our fruit. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Get my reading glasses on so I can see what I'm doing. Hey, look at that. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Now what Paul tells us here, it's very interesting because Paul tells us three different things, but he tells us why we butt our heads so often. And if we would study the Word and read it, we might not butt our heads so often. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by all things that are made, even His eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's stop right there. What did he just say? Now I ask you, do you believe you came from a primordial ooze? Primordial ooze? That's what the scientists tell you. They believe you came from this little self-existing little ooze that nobody can say where it came from. And one day, this ooze got a brain. And it said, oh, wow, I think I'll swim around and become a fish. And for some reason, miraculously, everything in the ooze that was there came alive and this fish existed. It might have taken a million years, but then the fish decided it was sick and tired of being in this ooze. I mean, come on, I wouldn't want to be in his ooze anyway. And it decided that it should walk. And it became a reptile and walked away. And millions and millions and millions of years ago, you and I went from that reptile to what we are. Which tells us what? That my relatives are ooze. Now, don't be telling them that because they probably wouldn't appreciate me. You can't convince me that a monkey was sitting in a tree and decided, hey, I'm going to walk upright, I'm going to put on a three-piece suit, I'm going to go get ulcers, I'm going to get cancer, and I'm going to be a man and be happy about it. It don't happen. But if you ask the scientists, that's where you and I came from. We're all related. It doesn't matter whether we're black, white, green, purple, orange, whether we have little horns. Well, that's a different group. We all have this ooze gene in us. I don't know about you, but I sure don't want no ooze gene in me. I'm getting old. I have enough trouble holding all my parts together, let alone having ooze genes. What does Paul tell us? He says they're without excuse. We were talking about this earlier. I don't understand. See, if you're in where you need to be with Jesus, you don't understand when someone looks at a sunset and can't see God. When someone sees a tree and the beautifulness that goes around that tree, you can't understand how they can't see God. Because Paul says they're without excuse. Just the nature alone, the invisible things alone. There was a scientist who's a microbiologist. For those of you who are not overeducated like me, aren't you lucky? That means somebody that studies the real small machines. The things that make you and I tick on a level that's so small, you have to magnify it 1,000 times to see it. But it's alive. Do you know you have things inside of you, inside your individual cells, that can't be seen unless they're magnified over 1,000 times? And they're alive, and they have a purpose? They make your cells and body work. Do you realize that? What did David say? David said, oh, how marvelously we were knitted in the womb. Isn't it, doesn't it boggle your mind that, you know, in the fingertip there's probably a million little micro machines right now working in those cells that I can't even see. Hey, quit it, guys. They're trying to take over. But this gentleman was not a Christian. He was a microbiologist and studied these. And you know what the one conclusion he came to was? There was absolutely, positively no way we evolved. Just from, and he wasn't a Christian. I hope he became one. But the book didn't say he did. But his final conclusion from all of his years' worth of work was, we were created. So see, here's Paul, 2,000 years ago, saying, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his internal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Don't you love it when the Word proves so true right in front of your face? Paul, 2,000 years ago, knew that there were little micro-machines that he couldn't see. David, when he said we were wonderfully knit, knew 2,000 years ago there were little micro-machines he couldn't see. But here we got these silly little scientists that have to spend their lives finding them. What's wrong with this picture? They're without excuse. Let's go on with this. As soon as I get my glasses on. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, the uncorruptible God, into an image like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepers things. And wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanliness through their lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, we'll keep going, but let's stop there for a minute. What's the first thing that happens? You start trying to preach to somebody, teaching them. What do they tell you? Oh, I know better than that. They profess themselves to be wise when they're fools, don't they? But what do they start doing? Making their own little gods. The ooze. Scientists worship the ooze because that's the foundation of where we came from. Do you know how our universe came about? A very large burp. One day, now get this, one day, a marble-sized particle. I'm dead serious. This is in the textbooks. One day, a marble-sized particle just got it in its head that it wanted to be a universe. Nobody can explain why it got it in its head it wanted to be the universe, but it just got it in its head and it wanted to be the universe. I think it had had some kind of bad food or something, but it burped. When it burped, for 1 millisecond, the whole universe expanded to what we see today. A millisecond is 1 millionth of a second. So for 1 millionth of a second, according to scientific theory, the whole universe expanded to what we see today. And then for some reason, this thing still had consciousness after expanding that big and said, I'm done, I'm shrinking now. And the universe has been shrinking ever since. So as old as man can tell, the universe has always been shrinking. But because of some little marble-sized particle that had indigestion that burped, our universe exists. Come on, people. Paul saw it coming. 2,000 years ago, Paul said, you have no excuse. But what's the first thing man does? See, when you're trying to talk to somebody, when you want to build this church, when you want to witness to them, what's the first thing you're going to run into, according to Paul right here? First thing you're going to run into is they're smarter than you are. What happened when Peter and John were preaching and they were taken in front of the Sanhedrin? What was the first comments out of the Sanhedrin's mouth? These are uneducated heathens. What are they doing? Now, how many of you have heard in the news, on the radios, people mocking Christians as uneducated, stupid, silly, backward. They need to come into this century. So the first thing you're going to run into when you start talking to them about Jesus, you're going to run into these things. Now, what does the Bible tell us, though? It's not your worry. The Bible says it's whose job to convict? Holy Spirit. It's our job to what? To open our mouths and talk. See, this is where we got to get beyond this. It's not even too young for them, you guys right there, to tell someone you love Jesus. That's your job. It's not too old. There's nothing in the Bible that limits anything once you say, I'm a Christian. Once you reach past that point and say, I love you, Jesus, I'm a Christian, you are obligated to tell someone. You don't have to convict them. You don't have to get them into church. All you do is go out and plant that seed. And I guarantee if you don't, this is what you got. The saddest thing, and I love Lonnie and Opal to death. I love Lonnie. I love Opal. They're great. You know, well, Opal was great. She's greater now because I'm stuck here and she's in heaven. But the saddest comment I ever heard was how many people Lonnie and Opal touched in their ministry, and then to see how many people showed up at Opal's funeral. There's over 5,000 people, and the latest estimates are like 10,000 human beings in this community. Now, if we're touching people for Jesus, we're either going to torque them all off and they're going to leave, or we're going to see some fruit from it. And that was the saddest thing to me. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not making a judgment either way. I'm just making a statement. It was sad to me. Many times when you're preaching the gospel and you're not reaching people, you're spending more of your time irritating them. And they don't want anything to do with you. You can ask my wife. I can't count how many people that we've tried to lead to the Lord and they disappear off the face of the earth. They don't want anything to do with us. We've been called religious freaks. We've been called Jesus freaks. We've been called a few other things that I can't repeat in public. But I guarantee they can never say before Jesus somebody didn't tell them. This last year, the Lord honored us. We're nothing. We're nobody. The Lord honored us in distributing over 120 Bibles to the oil patch this year. I have no idea if any of it will be fruitful. I pray Isaiah, where he says, the Lord has promised his word will not return without what? Doing what it's supposed to. Whether it'll be fruitful or not, that's up to God. But I consider it an honor that he allowed us to be in the position, the time, and the place to do it. See, this is fruitful, people. You're going to run into these. And he says right here that they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. So in other words, they basically start worshiping other gods. And for that, what did he do? He turned them over to the uncleanliness of their hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. We have to assume we're talking sexual lust. But then we go on. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile afflictions, for even women did change their natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise men leaving the natural use of a woman to burn for their lust for one another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their honor which was met. See, there's stages here. We don't just get turned over to our delusions instantly. There's stages here. The first stage is because they start worshiping things of man and believing in things of man instead of God. And God gives them over to their own lusts. But then those that go that next step change the truth into a lie. Start saying that it's okay to be homosexual according to God. Start saying that we should embrace all sinners according to God and not expect them to change. See, that's when God lets them be turned over a little bit more. See, God doesn't make them do. God lets them do. Have you ever noticed the thing about evil? When you open the door to evil, it's only a matter of time, if you don't slam it real quick, that it makes itself at home. I mean, let's be real. How many of you here plan on sinning today? Or yesterday? Or the day before? Or the day after? You don't, do you? You don't plan on, oops. But if you open that door and let it in, it grows. It expands. It takes over your life. In the last month, three major pastors in Colorado Springs have fallen. Two have fallen in homosexual sins. One has fallen in other sins. And each one has said, oh, I struggled with this all my life. I couldn't help it. Croc, you can help anything with Jesus. But if you take your eyes off of Jesus and you open that door, and you open that door a little bit more, and you open that door a little bit more, the devils from hell are going to take you over. And you're going to be worthless to everybody but the one that rules you. How many people are damaged and possibly damaged beyond repair because those people turned gods into a lie? And you can't tell me you can't. I don't care how many of these pastors you have they're sending into spiritual rehab now. If you fell into the sin of homosexuality as a pastor, you've turned God's word into a lie and He's turned you over to your delusions. But let's go see. And this is where America is today. The world is today. See, Paul 2,000 years ago knew where we were. He says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malady, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Uh-oh. Did you guys hear that one that was in there? Disobedient to parents. I once got some young men down in Evanston very mad at me because they were being disobedient. And I reminded them that if they were in the Old Testament, they could be stoned to death. They didn't talk to me for several weeks. Aren't you glad we're not in the Old Testament? I know there's a lot of parents around that wouldn't have kids. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing, okay, get this, they haven't forgotten, who knowing the judgment of God, that they will commit such things worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in doing them. That last line can be turned into the English, interpreted into English in the Greek, saying they encourage them. Where are we today? Our schools are encouraging homosexual education. Our jails, as I was saying before we started, we know of one pastor who just quit being the chaplain in a prison system in Colorado because the Colorado Supreme Court says he has to deliver satanic Bibles for people who want to have Satan worship. We live in a world right now, we've gone through number one, we've gone to number two, we've gone all the way down to number three. We live in a world of unrighteous, wicked, malice, envy, murderers, debaters, deceit, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, and anyone who stands for Him. What are we going to do about it? The Bible tells us, very plain and clear, we can go to 2 Corinthians, I believe, 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, And if we don't believe what Paul told us in Romans, we can go to 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.